The Marrow's Telling, Words in Motion, by Eli Clare, published by Homo Factus Press, read by Eli Clare, copyright 2007. Part 6, which includes Scars. To the curious people who ask, what do your tremors feel like? Retarded, cripple, defect, gawking, gaping, staring. And interlude 5, demand. Scars. I pour a bath, dissolve a handful of mineral salts, catching each crystal, the stream of hot water, crack a window, try to light the candles. They float in a bowl of water. And as I touch match to wick, my hand jumps, tremor climbing the ladder of my arm. I swamp one candle, then the other, give up. Strip my clothes, t-shirt, high tops, jeans, boxers, pull off my binder, breasts coming free. I think about the not-so-long-ago laws against cross-dressing, about old-time butches and the price they paid. There are stories of bar raids, strip searches, jail cells, scare me. Heat stings, right arm loosens, body buoyant, tremors rock water, no longer locked in shoulder and back. I finger the appendectomy scar stretched from navel to pubic hair, a thick, ropey trail cut down my center, cup the knobby glob of tissue on my right knee, remnants of one fall among thousands, trace the ridged line across my left palm, mark of a chisel slipping from wood to flesh. Except for that thick, ropey braid, my scars don't come from a surgeon's scalpel. An unusual circumstance for anyone physically disabled since birth. My quad muscles were never cut, sewn back together. Achilles tendons never severed, pins never inserted into hips and knees. The bodies of disabled people so often end up crisscrossed with scars, childhoods punctuated by surgery, but not mine. My skin didn't become a map. For that, I need to go subterranean. Muscles knotted, tendons inflamed, vertebrae too sore to touch. As I soak, wind picks up outside, tosses cedars and firs into a whispery dance. I submerge myself, tremor dissolved into hot water. Look down at my breasts. One day, I may have scars to trace here. Not the matted tissue of a radical mastectomy, hoping against hope cancer won't return, but rather the feathery lines of a chest reconstructed to follow the ridge of pectoral muscle, surgery gladly chosen. Sometimes this is what I want, curve of breast irrevocably gone. But will I let the doctor's scalpels in hand touch my skin? Will I have enough desire, enough courage, enough money? Dream. I lie on top of him, my left leg thrust between his, can feel his cock bulging there against my thigh. We have taken off only our shoes, kissing slow, talking slow. I want to slide my hands up under his shirt, up to rest along his shoulder blades, turn him over, his body arching into my weight, cup his balls in one hand, and take him gently. I want to, but don't. Instead, we're kissing with all our clothes between us. I tell him, if you want to be lovers with me, you need to know. On the streets, we will be faggots, and in bed, we will not forget. Underwater, I touch the tub, white porcelain, touch my skin, tropical tree frogs tattooed up my leg, orange, green, red, yellow. When people ask, I say, I dream them in vivid living color. The dream wouldn't leave me alone. Touch myself, soft and warm. None of my scars come from a cop's billy club. Written 1998 and 2007, about returning to my body, 1996 to 2007. To the curious people who ask, what do your tremors feel like? Tell me, have you ever watched hands play a piano, fingers on the keys, ivory to skin, dance white to black and back again, run wild and loose, thump and caress the universe cradled inside a baby grand, those hands I lost at birth. Breath squeezed to empty gasps, I fell into the world, brain of my fingers half dead. Explain to me your hands resting, still as water before they dance. That I cannot imagine. Written 1992, after being asked yet again about my tremors, 1990. Retired cripple defect. If only we had taken the boys on, those who knew the litany best, rocks and erasers, bruising words. Instead, the taunted turned, her paper-thin voice reached across the schoolyard, my shaking fists answered back, lonely bodies, we were the only two. Written 1994, about grade school, 1975. Gawking, gaping, staring. Gawking, gaping, staring. I can't say when it first happened. When first a pair of eyes caught me, held me in their vice grip, tore skin from muscle, muscle from bone. Those eyes always shouted, freak, retard, cripple, demanded an answer for tremoring hands, a tomboy's bold and unsteady gait I never grew out of. It started young, anywhere I encountered strangers. Gawking, gaping, staring, seeped into my bones, became the marrow. I spent 30 years shutting it out, slamming the door. The gawkers never get it right, but what I want to know is this. Will you? When my smile finds you across the room, will you notice the odd angle of my wrists cocked and decide I'm a pane of glass to look right through? Or will you smile back? I come from people who have long histories of being on stage, freaks and drag queens, court jesters, and scientific experiments. Sometimes we've been proud, other times just desperate. We've posed for anthropologists and cringed in front of doctors, performed the greatest spectacles, and thumbed our noses at the shadow called normal. The gawkers used to pay good money. Now they get in for free. Being on stage is dangerous. Just ask coy woman Saoirse Bartman, exhibited at the Hottentot Venus. She paced a cage on demand and posed for French naturalists. After she died, her genitals became a museum display for over a century. I listen to the histories and everywhere hear the words freak, savage. The Cockers think I'm deaf or mentally retarded. They think I'm a 20-year-old guy or a middle-aged butch. They can't make up their minds. Start with sir, end with ma'am, waver in the middle. They think I'm that pane of glass. I spent so many years shutting the staring out. Friends would ask, did you see that person gaping at you? And I'd answer, what person? It's a great survival strategy, but not very selective. In truth, the door slammed hard, and I lost it all. All the appreciation, flirtation, solidarity that can be wrapped into a gaze. I couldn't imagine anyone, much less a lover, reaching beneath my clothing, beneath all the ugly words, beneath my shame and armor, eyes and hands returning me to grace, beauty, passion. Never imagined this. He cradles my right hand against his body and says, your tremors feel so good, and says, I can't get enough of your shaky touch, and says, I love your cerebral palsy. Shame and disbelief flood my body, drowning his words. How do I begin to learn his lustful gaze? Being on stage is an act of faith. Just ask William Johnson, African-American and cognitively disabled. He stepped up to the freak stage, donned an ink costume, and shaved his head, save for a tuft of hair at the very top. Became the Monkey Man, the missing link, the what is it? He died a rich man, affectionately known by his co-workers as the Dean of Freaks. But he could just have easily been a lonely, frightened man, coerced, bullied, trapped by freak show owners and managers. I listen to the histories and everywhere hear the word savage, defect. These days I practice gawking at the Cockers. It's an act of resistance. If I had a time machine, I'd travel back to the freak show, sneak in after hours, after all the folks who worked long days selling themselves as armless wonders and wild savages had stepped off their platforms, out of their geek pits, from behind their curtains. I'd walk among them, the fat women, the short-statured men, the folks without legs, the supposed half-men, half-women, the conjoined twins, the bearded women, the snake charmers and sword swallowers. As they took off their costumes, washed their faces, sat down to dinner, I gathered their words, their laughter, their scorn at the rubes who bought their trinkets and believed half their lies. I breathe their fierceness into me. The Cockers have turned away from me, laughed, thrown rocks, pointed their fingers, quoted Bible verses, called me immoral and depraved, tried to heal me, swamp me in their pity. Their hatred snarls into me. They never get it right, but what I want to know is this. Will you? If I touch you with tremoring hands, will you wince away, thinking cripple, thinking ugly? Or will you unfold to my body, let my trembling shimmer beneath your skin? I practice overt resistance and unabashed pride, flirting as hard as I know how. On the Castro, I check out the bears, big, burly men with full beards and open shirts. One of them catches my eyes. I hold his gaze for a single moment too long, watch as it slips down my body. He asks, "Are you a boy or a girl?" Not taunting, but curious. I don't answer, walk away smiling, skin warm. In another world, at another time, I would have grown up neither boy nor girl, but something entirely different. In English, there are no good words, no easy words. All I have is the shadow land of neither man nor woman, a suspension bridge tethered between negatives. One day, we may have a language to take us to a place that is neither masculine nor feminine, day nor night, mortis nor tenon. But for now, what could I possibly say to the bears cruising me at 3 p.m., as sunlight streams over concrete? Being on stage is risky. Just ask Billy Tipton. He worked the jazz stage with his piano, saxophone, and comedy routines, lived for 50 years as a female-bodied man, married 5 times, and had 3 sons. The gawking started after his death, as the headlines roared, "Jazz musician spend life concealing fantastic secret." I listened to the histories, and everywhere hear the words defect, queer. It usually only takes one long glance at the gawkers, kids on their way home from school, old women with their grocery bags, young professionals dressed for work, one unflinching glance in return. But before they turn away, I want someone to tell me just once what they're staring at. My tremoring hands, my red hair, my broad, off-center stance, shoulders well-muscled and lopsided, my slurred speech. Just once, but typically one steely glance, and they're gone. There is a freak show photo. Hiram and Barney Davis off stage, small, wiry men, white, cognitively disabled, raised in Ohio. They wear goatees, hair falling past their shoulders, look mildly and directly into the camera. On stage, they played Wayno and Plutono, the wild men from Borneo, snapped, snarled, growled, shook their chains at the audience. Rubes paid good money to come watch. I hope that sometimes they stopped mid-performance up there on the sideshow platform and stared back, turning their mild and direct gaze to the rubes gawking at the gawkers. They never get it right. But what I want to know is this, will you? When I walk through the world, will you simply scramble for the correct pronoun? Or will you imagine a river at dusk, its skin smooth and unbroken, sun no longer braided into sparkles? Cliff divers hurl their bodies from 50 feet. Neither flying nor earthbound, three somersaults and a half turn, entering the water free fall without a ripple. Will you get it right? I'm taking Hiram and Bonnie as my teachers and looking for the places where staring finally turns to something else, something true to the bone. Where strength is softened and tempered, love honed and stretched, where gender is more than a simple binary, where we encourage each other to swish and swagger, limp and roll, and learn the language of pride, places where our bodies become home. Gawking, gaping, staring, I can't say when it first happened. Written 2002 to 2007, about the freak show in the 1800s and everyday encounters. Interlude 5, Demand. Certainly it's necessary to tell it. I used to fly my kite for hours on end, and still today I can feel its tug, beckon of sky and wind. But by itself, story isn't enough. We need to tell, talk, translate the marrow, tell it as trouble, all the years of whispers, snickers, earnest questions. Do you know this, the women's restroom? Tell it as joy, the first time your body felt alive and supple. Talk it as postmodern theory teasing those ideas out of the bramble, or as a training for healthcare providers. Translate it as history, policy, fierceness, rebellion, civil rights, a poem sung in the streets. Let story be that kite, wild blue of sky, tug and beckon, dialogue and demand. Written 2005 to 2007. This ends part 6, continued in part 7.